It was a very cruel scene, executed in an unusual manner.
Cruel Coven. Greetings, love beans. Welcome to Cruel and Unusual, the podcast. Oh,
you stole my line.
I'm so sorry. I was just really into it.
I'm offended.
Goddamn. And I'm Tori.
I'm Katie.
Welcome, you guys. Wow, we are here.
And here we are. Happy Thursday, Thor Happy Day, or whatever day you're listening on.
Yeah, I guess. You guys, if you have not been here before, if we have never graced your ear holes, just know that Cruel and Unusual, the podcast, is a true crime podcast that covers things like mysteries, murders, conspiracies, unsolved cases, missing persons cases, solved cases. Anything else?
Weird shit and cults, like I'm bringing you today.
How fitting.
Yes.
We like to have a little bit of fun before and after, but while we are talking about the families and the people that are involved, we are always incredibly respectful. Because these people are real people and these crimes happened to them.
I know that last week I said that we would be back on our bullshit this week.
Yeah.
And we're only halfway back on our bullshit. Listen, it's been a lot. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a quick QOTDW.
There's a lot of letters in there.
There's a lot. T and a D.
QOTDW.
Titties and dick.
Fixin' to fuck ya.
Fixin' to fuck ya. Okay. We're going to do a question of the day slash week, but we're going to skip articles this week because I have a long boy episode for you.
She is a long boy.
And I know that the meat of the episode is what you all come here for.
Yeah. You don't want to hear us blabbing. Maybe you do, but you're not going to today.
Okay. I have a question. A QOTDW. Okay. And guess who this one's from? Tan, the cheerleading man.
What?
This one's from Tanner, my husband.
Okay.
He really specifically wanted credit.
Does he listen to the podcast?
Sometimes.
Oh, really?
You know what? He'll listen to this one because he knows that I'm talking about him. The question is, is there a true crime case that you would never cover on the pod?
Probably.
And what would that be?
That would be, I feel like we've talked about this before, not on here.
A little bit, yeah.
But like together.
I was thinking on the way here because he gave me this question when I walked out the door.
Yeah, see, I don't have time to think. You go first.
It's a thinker. I don't want to cover John Gacy. It's just gross to me.
Yeah.
He's gross. I don't want to say I'm not into it because nobody's into it, but no.
No?
I don't want to cover the Watts, Chris Watts.
I don't want to cover Chris Watts either.
Not only is it a horrific story, it was so recent, and I feel like he just loves the attention.
Yeah, I think he does too.
And I don't want to give him any. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
He is a true narcissist. Okay, moving on.
And I don't think that I would cover the West Memphis 3 because that fucked me up. When I watched Paradise Lost, I watched like 10 minutes of it, and I turned it off, and I was still in a funk for a week.
Yeah. I think that my answer would be both Ted Bundy and Albert Fish.
Yeah, I don't, Ted Bundy, the only way I would ever want to cover Ted Bundy would just
for be the sole to rip him a, would a be, new asshole. Yeah,
for the sole purpose of making fun of him the entire time.
Yeah, him.
And because Albert Fish, a piece of man. Shit.
Yeah.
Needle dick, no.
Yeah, that reminds me a lot of the guy who put matches in his dick.
Yeah.
Who was a frequent flyer at the ER that I worked at, or the hospital that I worked at. But anyway, yeah, I would never, I know that those are two, like, ugh, and I don't even want to say this, but they're two popular serial killers that people talk about a lot.
Notorious.
Yeah, but I have no, that me covering either of those will not help the world in any way.
Right.
So quite literally nothing good would come from me talking about them.
Right, yeah.
Which is what we try to do here.
Mm-hmm. So you ready to hear about a cult?
Yeah, I am, because the cult that you're doing, you told me the name of.
Whew.
And I've never heard of, I mean, I recently heard of them, but I don't know anything about them.
Because it's recent. So just a few months ago, something big happened. And you may have seen like blips about it a few months ago. It kind of popped in the news for a little bit.
Yes.
But wow, this shit goes deep. Oh
yeah,
my God.
I'm kind of a little bit even nervous to hear about it.
It's not.
I know that Nia was afraid. Are you going to talk about that?
I will. My cat got very afraid of a video that I had to watch for
this. That's about all I know about it.
It's not You know I like to cover cults, and I covered the Anthill Kids last. It's not gory at all, really, like that one, but it's...
So, is it mindfuckery?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a cult.
Why don't we just get into it?
Okay, let's dive in. Katie? Splash. Oh, wow.
On April 28th, 2021, a man named Miguel Lamboy walked into a Colorado police station and told authorities that the body of a dead woman was inside of his home.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Casual, right?
Yeah.
It's unclear where Miguel was prior to returning to his house and finding the body, but there were 7 adults and 2 children staying there while he was gone. The kids were aged 2 and 13.
Could you imagine coming home to that? Was he part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he probably could imagine.
So the 2-year-old was Miguel's son, and the 13-year-old was the daughter of someone else who was staying at the house. So a total of 9 people, 2 kids, and 1 dead body. When the police got to Miguel's property, a blue house on a remote cul-de-sac near the tiny town of Moffett, to see what in the ever-living fuck was going on, they discovered a partially mummified corpse. Although the body couldn't be 100% identified through fingerprints because mummified, it was allegedly the corpse of 45-year-old Leah Amy Carlson, or Mother God.
Mother God.
Mother God. There also aren't any dental records to rely on, but...
Did she have dentures?
I don't believe so. I think there just weren't any records for her.
Okay.
But they are working on a DNA match to be absolutely certain that it's her.
Mother God.
Mother God, Amy. So Amy's body was found wrapped in Christmas lights.
Ew. Ew, I don't like that.
Glitter makeup was spread around her empty eye sockets.
Her empty eye sockets?
Yeah, I never did find out what happened to her eyes. And she was shrouded in a sleeping bag on a bed surrounded by, quote, some kind of shrine, according to the Sagouache County Sheriff's Office.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
The 7 adults who were staying at Miguel's house with Amy's body were celebrating. Why, you may ask?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Because Mother God, or Amy, had finally ascended.
Oh.
Uh-huh. She had, quote-unquote, completed her contract. Those phrases came from a now-deleted Facebook video made by a member of Love Has Won, a group, or a cult, who believes that Amy Carlson was a 19-billion-year-old divine being.
Oh my.
Who had singularly birthed all of creation.
That's quite an important role. Could you imagine?
It's tiring.
Yeah.
Now.
That's a lot of birthing to do.
I mean, yeah.
Mother God, Amy.
Although the members found in Miguel's home with Amy's body didn't consider any of this a crime, there was no foul play suspected in her death, they were all arrested. They're facing child abuse charges, 4 of them are charged with tampering with a deceased human body, and 3 are charged with abuse of a corpse. The amount of deterioration Amy's body displayed led investigators to believe that she had been deceased for quite some time, like a month or maybe longer. Quote, I've never seen a group of people be so nonchalant about a dead person, said Corporal Stephen Hansen.
Well, that was normal for them. Like, that's what they were wanting. They were fucking celebrating it because her contract had ended.
Yep.
Could you imagine if the rest of the world looked at life like that?
She's about to take everybody to the 5th dimension. I'll talk about that more, too.
Dear, no. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, you're probably wondering how everything got to this point. And I'll do my best to tell you, but I will say that since Amy's body was just discovered a few months ago, that was when the real investigation began. And it's just not all documented.
Yeah.
The cult's history and everything. I mean, I got quite a lot of information for you, but I have a feeling more is going to be coming out in this year, probably.
Oh, yeah, so, I'm sure. So what you're saying is we need to buckle up our buttholes.
Buckle up. Buckle up. This is a new cult. But when you think of cults, I mean, I think of like
Manson.
Yeah, like the fuckwad cult leader guys from like the 70s.
But was this like Mother God's cult?
Mm-hmm.
So a woman leader.
Yeah. Yeah. This was her cult. And that felt very uncommon to me, too. Like, I know there are and have been women-led cults, but I couldn't think of one.
Hello. Quill Coven.
No. But I couldn't think of one at the top of my head, you know, like a real woman-led cult.
One that you hear about that is, like, in the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually it's cis straight men who have been conditioned to, like, gain power over girls and women, and it's this whole god complex. White and men. Amy's got a god complex.
White men.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, white men, but you have a history of doing this.
You do. Okay. You do. But the thing is, being a compelling and charismatic leader isn't something that only a man can do. Female cult leaders may not be as willing to, like, hype themselves up and show off their power, but that doesn't mean that they're any less terrifying. And this cult, Love Has Won, on the very surface, it looks so warm and inviting and inclusive, like this like hippie group. Their logo is like rainbow. They're called Love Has Won. That sounds really wholesome, right?
That's what I was just going to say, was like even the name of the cult, like Love Has Won, that makes you think like everything is rainbows and sunshine.
Mm-hmm. And their message is one of love and peace and unity. And if you see something like that off the cuff, you're inclined to think like this is a good thing. Amy Carlson must be a great person, which...
Well, she birthed 19 million generations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's clearly a hard worker.
She worked very hard on that. But really, that couldn't be further from the truth. So we're going to start with Amy herself. Okay. She grew up in Dallas, Texas. And from what I found, it seems like she had a pretty run-of-the-mill, middle-class childhood. She was a straight-A student and a lead in her choir with a quote-unquote angelic voice. One of her sisters, Chelsea, told BBC that they had a great upbringing with loving parents. Amy's parents did divorce when she was just a kid. And she lived with her dad for a bit, and then her mom, Linda, and Linda's new husband. It's said that once Amy got a little bit older, she started chatting with strangers on the internet. And that's when things started to get a little weird. She became entranced with spiritualism, and from what it seems, not in a healthy way. Amy started meeting up in person with people she'd initially met online, and when she'd come back home from these meetups, she'd be acting strange, and she'd be talking about things like starships and awakening. Amy would eventually go on to have 3 children of her own with at least 2 different men, and she'd end up with a job at a Texas McDonald's where she worked her way up to manager of the restaurant. She continued her online chatting and chat room stuff, and around 2006, Amy left her 3rd husband and her children and family behind, completely abandoning them. Amy's oldest child, her son named Cole, he was only 12 around that time when she left him, and he told the BBC that Christmas, he was getting ready to go to Houston to spend the holiday with his mom, because he was living with his dad at the time, and as he was about to leave to go see her, he learned that Amy was leaving the family and taking off. Where to? None of them knew.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and sad.
Like, just like, yeah, for like a little boy, how old was he, 12?
12. Like, and she had 2 other kids, too. He was the oldest.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that for them.
It's just sad. Yeah. It's thought that this is when Amy left to go live with the people she met online in some sort of commune.
I can't even imagine that. Like, how in your right mind do you just say, oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Goodbye, responsibilities. Goodbye, city life. Goodbye, child. Like, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And then as a family, it's like, what do you do? You can't do anything because they're allowed to do that if they want.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. So that was the last time any of her family members, including her children, saw or heard from her. What exactly happened behind the scenes with the cult in the early days is mostly unclear. It's said that Amy didn't technically become Mother God until her 3rd year with the cult. And she actually founded Love Has Won after she was with this group for those 3 years. Before that, it's said to have gone by several different names, such as the Galactic Federation of Light and the Galactic Free Press.
What?
Yeah. So Amy did a lot of recruitment for them. She subsequently became the leader and changed when she was the leader, when she became Mother God, she changed it to Love Has Won. They called themselves a religious movement. They didn't seem to have a fixed set of beliefs, per se. They were more fluid in their theology, which consisted of New Age philosophy, conspiracy theories, and Messiah worship. Love Has Won was made up of a core group of 12 to 20 members, so not huge. They were, or are, I guess, technically, a tax-exempt 501c3 registered New Age nonprofit organization.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
A cult.
Yeah.
We're going to call it how it is.
Call it for what it... Call it like I see them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The group also ran a company called Gaia's Whole Healing Essentials. This just makes me think of the Anthill Kids and their, yeah, you know,
and their little storefront.
Same vibe.
And yeah, it also makes me think of Herbalife.
Mm-hmm.
And their little storefront.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that who they are?
If you guys have smoothie shops popping up in your neighborhoods and they have the word nutrition in them, that's Herbalife MLM shit, and it's all powder.
If you have smoothie shops popping up as fast as the mattress stores,
mm-hmm,
that's Herbalife.
Now, Gaia's Whole Healing Essentials was primarily e-commerce, where they sold all kinds of homemade elixirs and shit, like plasma healing spray and colloidal silver serums that allegedly contained and were made from scrap metal. Gaia's Whole Healing was actually reported to the FDA because they claimed that their colloidal silver products could cure COVID-19.
No,
mm-hmm,
it won't.
They also tried to upstart these schools for children called crystal schools, saying that kids who are living in this state of ascension cannot and should not go to public schools.
God.
Yeah, but they struggled to get donations for that one. I mean, they even had a GoFundMe so that they could buy a tilt-a-whirl for the school, but it just didn't.
That's
didn't
what's get enough important. Traction.
Huh?
That's what's important.
Yeah, they need a tilt-a-whirl.
We need a tilt-a-whirl in our school.
Crystal schools for the special kids.
For the ascended children. What is wrong here? Everything.
In 2009, when they were still the Galactic Federation of Light, they posted this message on YouTube, and it was titled, Father God Speaks to Humanity. So this was when they still had a Father God, before Mother God took over. The video was really just like the sky in the background, no people, but there was a man speaking, and it's thought that this person was a guy named Amarith, the first Father God.
Isn't that like a stone?
It might be. I'm not too into the crystals, really, but it could be. It's thought that Amarith is the one who convinced Amy that she was and was always destined to be Mother God. Now, it's thought but not proven that Amy suffered from severe mental illnesses, that at least one of her past relationships or marriages was an abusive one, and that she suffered from addiction and alcoholism. These haven't been proven, but one of her former partners did put up his own video on YouTube in which he states that Amy did indeed abuse alcohol before she met Amarith. If these things are true, it kind of makes it a little clearer to see how she was in a vulnerable state and how she could have gotten sucked into this mess. I mean,
yeah,
that's usually what people look for when they're trying to recruit for a cult.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. But then she became Mother God.
Yeah, then she became kind of horrible, so... Love Has One started posting videos to YouTube and doing Facebook live streams.
Do they still have those?
There are clips of them out. A lot of the YouTube ones are gone. I think their whole YouTube channel is gone.
Yeah, probably.
But you can definitely still find clips and stuff. But holy fucking shit. Like, it really became clear to people on the outside that this thing ran deep.
Yeah.
So here are just a few of Love Has One's claims. Amy Carlson was here to save humanity from the dark forces known as the Cabal.
Amy Carlson doesn't need to do shit like that. She doesn't have any powers.
Here's a quote from a member found from an online video. Quote, well, you know what, Cabal minions? Do you really think you're going to get away with eating children? End quote.
No.
They thought, amongst eating children, that the Cabal was trying to keep humanity in three dimensions in low vibrations. It was up to Amy to raise the vibrations so humanity could ascend to a mystical fifth dimension. She was only going to save 144,000 people.
Well, then we wouldn't have even been there.
I mean, everyone else would be recycled into the galactic central sun, of course. Amy created herself. So Amy was the savior, the messiah, and the cult was dedicated to worshiping her. Quote, if she dies, we all die. End quote. That's from a member.
Ugh.
But the main purpose of doing these videos and live streams was to not only recruit new members, but also to solicit monetary donations and get people to buy their products. They did and do a lot of their recruiting on QAnon message boards. I don't know. Where do QAnon people hang out? Parler? They sure as fuck hate Facebook and Twitter these days, so I don't know. Wherever the QAnon people hang out, they go right for those people because obviously they're easy targets. They also targeted people online who had New Age beliefs like crystals, meditation, and Reiki. They would love bomb at the beginning. They hook people and smother them with love and attention so that they would stick around, donate money, and eventually give up their lives. Amy Carlson stated that she'd been reincarnated 534 times. She was Jesus. She remembered being Jesus and she remembered hanging on the cross. She was also Joan of Arc in a past life.
Wow.
She was Cleopatra. She was Marilyn Monroe.
Bet.
She claimed to have been Harriet Tubman. Fuck you. Queen Elizabeth I. Amelia Earhart.
I feel like Mother God Amy Carlson Romano is truly one of the biggest narcissists we've ever talked about.
Oh, yeah. She claimed to have a full and complete memory of all of those lives.
It's called You Made It Up. Yeah. So, of course, you had a full memory about it. Yeah. You're lying.
Mm-hmm. Amy also claimed that in her final lifetime alone, the one that she was living right before she died, she was subjected to 589 assassination attempts. She said, quote, yeah, I've been killed several times, end quote.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure. Amy said that humanity was either with her or against her, and the experiment of free will has failed. She will lead her children, those 144,000 people, into the fifth dimension, but she needed help ascending, and that's where her followers came in. The Galactic Federation of Light team. This was the team who was supposed to help her ascend to the fifth dimension to save 144,000 people. I don't know, okay?
Were these the people that were in that home with her?
Okay, well, on this team,
those seven people or whatever?
No, these people. On this team, there was a man they called Master Saint Germain. Also on the Federation of Light team, there was an entity called Cryon. And
Cryon?
Cryon. K-R-Y-O-N.
Oh.
Cryon. Everyone else is like, crayon?
Does she mean crayon?
No. You call her with crayons.
Yeah, crayons. I'm sorry.
Anyway, okay. And then the third person, the third entity on this team to help her ascend was the deceased Robin Williams, who Amy claimed was now the Archangel Zadkiel.
Are they just pulling all of our fucking legs? And like, is there a hidden camera somewhere? What is going
on? They believed this.
On?
I don't know if Amy really believed this, but they did.
Oh, God.
Leave
Robin Williams alone.
You're right, Amy. Let him rest in peace. But not the one that's going to help you ascend to the fifth dimension.
No, let him RIP, okay?
Well, she claimed that on the day he died, Robin Williams, he came into her bedroom, and he's been walking alongside her ever since. So, like I said earlier, she and her followers believed that she was a 19-billion-year-old being who birthed all of creation. Amy was also the queen of the lost continent of Lemuria, which is theoretical. That's not even, like, a thing.
She has quite the imagination, though. She should have been a storyteller. I mean, she was a storyteller, but she should have been an author.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the group also believed that the Lemurians now live inside of Mount Shasta in California. They adopted that reptilian conspiracy theory that some of you might be familiar with, that alien reptiles control Earth by taking on human form and gaining political power. Amy also claimed that Donald Trump was her father in a past life.
How does that work? Because he's living in this life. How does he be your father later before now?
Oh, he's not a reptile? No, of course he's not, because they believed in QAnon.
I don't understand Mother God, Amy Carlson Romano. Yeah. You
Romano
are lying. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is alive and hopefully unwell. So how was he your father before?
It's the fucking QAnon thing. It's because they wanted to target those people. She wanted to target those people and recruit them, and she knows that they love Donald Trump. So, And they thought that the QAnon conspiracy theory described a great master plan. So, love has not won here. Not here. Not with you.
Not with me, Amy.
Love has not won.
No.
It's just so much going on. So much.
There's just so many moving parts, and my brain is like, woo-hoo.
Yep.
I can't hold on. On this tilt-a-whirl.
So listen to this. Love has one also offered etheric surgery or spiritual surgery, and they claimed that for $88.88, Amy would basically take a brain out of a person, spiritually, not physically, heal the brain, and put it back in the body. They claimed that when Amy spiritually took your brain out, she'd clear it of cabalware, basically malware of the brain. They called it cabalware. They also claimed that they could cure cancer with these spiritual surgeries and basically any ailment that you might have or that your pet might have. Your pet can get one too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm about to give myself a fucking lobotomy. What the fuck is going on?
Amy and several members appeared on the Dr. Phil show last really? Year. Last year.
Mm-hmm. In good 2020. Old Phil.
Good old Phil.
Not a doctor.
At this point, Amy had spent 15 years in the cult, 12 as Mother God, and she claimed to have performed over 100,000 healing sessions or spiritual surgeries. She said, quote, "It takes a lot of work, but I have a lot of energy despite my condition." I'll talk about her condition later. So Dr. Phil did the math, or probably someone else did the math, but according to that math, to do 100,000 spiritual surgeries in 12 years, she'd have to do roughly 18 of them a day, every day without ever stopping. Dr. Phil said, "Amy, that's got to wear you out." And Amy's like, "It did eventually, and now I'm paralyzed, but I can still do the surgery."
Amy. Amy, Amy, Amy.
So to backtrack a little, Amy's first video for the Galactic Federation of Light was in 2010, and she was just filming clouds and calling them spaceships. And then in 2012, the name changed again to the Galactic Free Press. Then in November of 2012, we actually see Amy in a video for the first time. And that video was called "Mother and Father God Declare Peace on Earth." So in the most recent videos of her, like right before Amy died, you can still find online, she's really chaotic. She's yelling, she's screaming, she's cussing. But in the earlier videos, Amy's voice is very soothing. She seems really happy. She's smiling and calm. The videos were like that until like early 2014. From that point on, she clearly devolves. She starts talking about the first contact ground crew, the fifth dimension, etc., all of that stuff. So there's also a video that goes up early on of Amy explaining that she'd left Amareth. She said that he mistreated her, abused her, and locked her in a closet where she was rescued by a member named Miguel.
And Amareth was Father God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yes. He was the first Father God. So she says that Miguel, the guy from the beginning, mm-hmm. rescued her from the closet. Other sources say that Amareth did not abuse her, that the allegations were false, and that Amareth was actually in a relationship with another younger woman, and that Amy left Amareth to be in a relationship with Miguel. Regardless of how the split happened, afterwards Amareth was referred to by the cult as Aleister Crowley, evil incarnate. They said that he destroyed their website, stole money from them. Like, drama in the cult. Cult drama.
Yeah, wow.
Real Housewives of the Galactic Federation of Light, Galactic Press, Love is One, if you will.
If I will.
It just goes to show that there's going to be drama like that, no matter if you're in a cult, no matter if you're just like a, you know,
regular
a
housewife old Joe.
Or whatever you are.
Mm-hmm. That's, ain't that the goddamn truth.
People have and love drama. So I want to tell you a little bit about these titles.
Okay.
Amy had multiple romantic partnerships throughout her reign as Mother God. When she had a partner, they would be referred to as Father God. When she had herself a Father God, she'd claim to have created him from her own heart. She said they were twin flames.
That had to be like a really bad, like little ego downer when you could no longer be called Father God.
Yeah, right. And one of them even gets demoted. I talk about him in a minute.
Wow.
God, it's just okay, so then you had your first contact ground crew. Naturally, these were core members of the cult who had given up everything, their entire lives, to worship Amy Mother God Carlson and help her with her mission of saving people and ascending to the fifth dimension. These members seem to have done a lot more of the live streams themselves. Like, these core members, yeah. they really wanted to spread this message that Amy was God and humanity was killing her. So,
super sorry.
Yeah. On a video, one member said, quote, "Her vessel is dying, but she herself is growing in consciousness and expanding," end quote. They're just words. Another member chimes in after that and says, quote, "Humanity as a whole has to choose to get out of that 3D. They're choosing something that no longer exists," end quote. Amy would also usually have a man who she called Father of the Multiverse, and herself, Father God, and Father of the Multiverse together made up the Holy Trinity. So this was like the Holy Trinity spoken about in the Bible.
Father, you know? The mm-hmm. Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father of the Multiverse.
Also, I would never want to be at the Father of the Multiverse. That's fathering multi-universes.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of job. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. That's more than a 40-hour work
week. That's above my pay grade. Miguel doesn't seem to ever become a father god, though, even though there was a rumor that she left Amarth to be with Miguel, which would make him father, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But he never becomes one. In 2015, a new father god was announced, and his name was Andrew. Andrew only stayed with the cult for that year, 2015.
He got the fuck out of there. Yeah,
so in a video that Andrew made after he left the cult, he talks about flying to Colorado and ending up at the house that the cult was living in. And he says, quote, "As soon as I got out of the taxi and walked in that front door, I realized I made a grave miscalculation." So we're not sure exactly what happened with him. It sounds like he just wasn't all in on Love Has Won and kind of realized how out there it was. At the end of 2015, Amy married a man named RJ, though not legally, I'm pretty sure. But RJ never got to become Father God.
What is the deal here?
He was just a twin flame. That's all he was, just a twin flame. There was a new Father God, however, in 2016 named Jonah. I just can't make this shit up. It's just... Okay, Jonah made his video premiere in a recorded summoning of Lucifer. Super casual. They're just summoning Lucifer.
I would say nonchalant.
It really looks like in this video that he's just having an orgasm. I don't know another way to explain it.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it.
There's another video from around this time that shows Amy dressed up like Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and she's just telling the world about the new father god, Jonah, and how they are now king and queen of the planet, she says.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So many titles. Also in 2016, RJ posted a video to the Love Has Won channel saying that the money that the group was going to use to go to Mount Shasta for a divine ceremony had been stolen. He said that Andrew and other former gods have stolen upwards of $70,000. And in the background, you can hear Amy kind of telling him what to say. Like, it's a little comical. But RJ's on there begging their followers to make up for the stolen money by donating. And boy, do they donate. Holy shit. So despite the group being a registered nonprofit, guess where most of that money was going? Straight to Amy. What do you know, Joe?
Could you imagine being that big of an asshole?
Really quick, Amy had this thing called Amy's Joy Fund where the money would go. And that was so, okay, just hold on a minute. Hold on. So she wanted to take, you know, trips and stuff, anything to keep her happy, to bring her joy. She needed joy after being God all the time. It's tiring. So she liked to play games on her cell phone, and she needed money for that. For the in-app purchases.
Is that where all of that money went?
A lot of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, they said that she was fighting the cabal by playing the phone games.
No, they did not.
They said, yes, that's what they believed.
No,
She would get codes in the games.
Fucking mortified.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this horrifying?
Disgusting.
Yeah. So Miguel really starts to show up more.
But he's not Father God.
No. He shows up in most of the YouTube videos in 2016. There's a lot of speculation as to whether Miguel really truly believed in the Love Has Won message, or if he was just playing along in hopes of money.
Yeah.
And it makes sense when you think about how he was the only one who found issue with hanging out with her dead body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was the only one who wasn't celebrating that and went to the police.
Yikes.
Also, everything that Love Has Won owned, so 2 properties and 3 cars, were registered in Miguel's name.
What?
Yeah. It's weird. Another thing was that since Love Has Won was a 501c tax-exempt
which is charitable bullshit
organization, mm-hmm, why would everything be under his name? You know, if that's the case. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Because he wasn't Father God.
No, but he was president of Love Has Won.
Oh, he was whatever, the president. Okay.
Whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I wonder if he had a gavel.
Mm-hmm. So he was in charge of the finances. He also claimed a gavel. He also claimed that Amy had cured his stage 4 lung cancer. I don't buy it.
If I had a wall near me, I would literally bang my head against it.
Yeah. I think Miguel was a con man who freaked out when things went too far.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion.
Well, he probably thought that by going to the police or the authorities or whatever, that he would be okay, like, and safe.
Right. And he didn't get arrested. So
wow.
There's more. I have more about him later. The group traveled between Oregon, California, and Florida prior to 2018. They were gaining new members and just doing their fucking thing. And then they finally settled in Moffett, Colorado. They did move to the island of Kauai for a hot second. But after Amy claimed to have been the Hawaiian goddess Pele, the locals were like, fuck, no, you're not, bitch. Like, that's not a direct quote.
it might have been from one of
maybe.
Them.
I mean, it's possible.
And the locals. Yeah, the locals knew what was going on.
Yeah. You don't get to fucking do that, Amy. They protested. The locals. They protested. They lit driftwood fires and they chanted Hawaiian prayers around the Love Has Won property until the cult left. Video footage from the Denver Post by Love Has Won member Lauren Suarez showed eggs and rocks being thrown at the house, as well as the broken windows of the house and the SUV parked in the driveway. So they were not having this.
No.
The mayor of Kauai came in to negotiate the cult leaving the island, and they subsequently were convinced to fly back to Colorado in September of 2020. Just like with Amy's relationships and Father God's, members would join and leave all the time. A very high turnover rate, if you will, for Love Has Won. Some members joined with their kids. Some had babies while they were in the cult. More on that later. A new Father God named John comes around, but Amy later demotes him to Father of the Multiverse. What a slap in the face.
My God.
Because the most recent Father God, Jason Castillo, was about to reign. So she had to kick John out for Jason.
Bye, John. Bye, John. Uh-huh.
You're demoted. See ya. Several people have stated that Jason Castillo has a personality akin to Charles Manson.
And that's not someone that you want to be compared to.
No. And I can attest to that, at least from the videos that I've seen. He is screaming constantly, curse words. Not that I'm not, but, like, not at his level. I actually played one, and it terrified my cat. But, like, she was, like, arched back, fluffy tail, ran for her life. And in that video, Jason was screaming, "Surrender, you son of a bitch," very loudly, over and over. And then he goes into this screaming rendition of Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You." I don't know. I don't know why. It really sounds like I'm making this whole episode up.
It really
does. But I'm see, not. I swear you know to you.
What it kind of does sound like.
Huh.
Is you're literally mashing and jumbling all of these weird fucking dreams that you have together.
Mm-hmm.
And just calling it a cult when it's really just your brain.
This is probably why I have the weird dreams, because I probably look up shit like this.
This is just
this is real. I promise bizarre. You it's real. It's said that Jason was orphaned at a very young age, and that before finding the cult, he was homeless in Las Vegas. His criminal record includes things like DUI and child neglect. So Jason Castillo's addition to Love Has Won really, truly, honestly, sincerely seems to be when the group takes this very dark turn, and I mean darker than before,
which is hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. And things go kind of haywire. Now I want to take a second to say that all of this probably sounds wild and outside of the realm of things that most of us would take to heart or believe in. That's fine. I just want to make it clear that it's okay to have your own beliefs. I'm not like, it's okay to be weird. Do what feels right for you. Believe in what you want. It's when it starts to hurt people.
It's one thing to believe in something and, like, have a passion for something.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to be harmful to people around you.
Right.
Or the general fucking public. And these people were harmful, toxic human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also worth noting that most of the stuff that they believed in or spoke about, they didn't come up with that on their own. It's borrowed from a ton of other religions and philosophies. It becomes a problem when you start to use your beliefs to take advantage of people, to brainwash them, to swindle them out of their money, or to abuse them. And these people are worshiping someone who seems to me like a narcissist, who is very persuasive, and a man who acts like Charles Manson. Like I just said, the Jason Castillo videos are not good. You can easily see how a situation like this could quickly devolve into something terrifying. So prior to Jason's arrival, it seems like, yeah, they were a cult, but they kind of just did their own, like, weird thing and duped people out of their money or whatever. But then their videos started depicting the members using racial slurs.
Oh, fuck you.
They used them a lot, very freely. Besides their free use of the N-word, they also began spewing anti-Semitic slurs and just rhetoric that is very disturbing and harmful and hateful. One of the members on a video clip was talking about Hitler and how Hitler knew the truth, basically justifying Hitler and that his concentration camps were basically just to teach Jewish people how to work.
Gross. Mm-hmm, disgusting. So fuck off. Horrifying.
Yeah. Since Jason was sworn in as Father God, in like April this. Of, with his hand up, In April of 2018, there have been sexual assault allegations against him, but I couldn't find anything to prove that. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I just can't prove it. I don't think that there are any sexual assault charges on him, or else I would have found that. During a time when the group was in Florida, Jason was arrested for trespassing on another man's property, a guy named Bill Vestal. And that resulted in some prison time for Jason. While Jason was in prison, this is when the group moved to Colorado. Reportedly because they were causing issues at the RV park that they were staying at in Florida. And Jason's absence from the YouTube channel was explained to their followers by saying that Jason was, quote, on mission.
End quote. Oh, like, yeah. he's like on a mission trip?
Yeah, but no, he was in prison. He was released from prison in September of 2019, and he joined up with the rest of the group in Colorado. Within a few weeks of Jason's release, there was a house fire in a home very close to where the group was staying in Moffett. Apparently, this fire started from a propane tank that was on the property of a man named Bill Vestal. The same guy who called the police on Jason for trespassing in Florida. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Who would have ever thought?
It's weird. There's some sort of connection there. I don't know what it is. There wasn't any actual evidence connecting Jason or Bill Vestal to the fire, but it's just a really strange coincidence. There are also quite a few instances of Jason being abusive on camera. This was verbal abuse. He would berate followers. He really seemed to have it out for John. Not sure why, but he had this vendetta against him. And he would just scream and yell and threaten him. Like, it made me sick to watch. It was horrible. Like, on camera, too. On camera, just freely doing this shit. He also really enjoyed verbally abusing a member named Robbie. And the thing about Robbie is he seems to be missing now.
Well, you don't say.
Mm-hmm. So some of the... Yeah, some of the followers did this live stream and they were talking about how Jason threatened to murder Robbie and bury his body in the backyard. They were saying that that wasn't him. That wasn't Father God saying those things. That was Lulu, whatever that means.
Lulu?
I don't know who Lulu is. But apparently a woman named Lauren claimed to have spoken to Robbie and she said that he was in jail, not missing. So who knows? At this point in 2018, Amy's mental and physical health seemed to rapidly decline. From the videos, it was very clear to me that Amy became unhinged and that she really, really liked having power and control. There were so many times where she would just be cackling loudly, screaming, yelling, abusing. In one video, it's unclear who she was speaking to, but she was yelling, "You're about to get it. You're not connected to me. You're out. And every one of you that went against me, you're going to get it." Like, screaming this. It's like she turned into this monster, and while her behavior seemed to get worse after Jason came along, she had started to do those things on video before he was around, too. So in another video, she's telling other members to lock this tiny child, who was having a meltdown, in a dark closet alone, saying, quote, "They better fucking listen."
Because that'll help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she did.
That's great.
Horrible. In yet another video, Amy is seen physically abusing a cat.
No.
And just screaming at it. That one made
God,
me.
What a fucking asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ew, I don't like that.
On camera, she still thinks this, you know, it's a good thing to do. I mean, don't do them off camera either, but like, shit, Ames. She said, quote, "I'm fucking God, you fucking whores."
I wonder if she started believing that.
I don't know. Love has won though, right? Like, yeah. Fuck. So another thing that comes along with cults is that they usually have pretty strict rules on how they're allowed to live, act, be, dress, etc. So here are some of the rules for Love Has Won. They had to wear certain colors on certain days of the week, like Mean Girls. They're supposed to be different colors for different chakras. So if you do find Love Has Won videos or clips online, the members featured are usually all wearing the same color. They couldn't have money of their own or spend any money on themselves. Mm. And when you arrived at the house or the compound or whatever, you had to hand over any and all belongings you brought with you. They were only allowed around 4 hours of sleep each night.
After no. See, that's the worst one of them all, I think.
Yeah. After 4 hours, they had to be woken up. Some would only sleep for 2.5 hours. Members could not be in a relationship or have any sexual relations unless they were assigned a twin flame. And that was Amy telling them, you know, "You two are one soul and two bodies. You may now screw." Men must urinate sitting down. No drugs or alcohol. And you'll see in a lot of videos, you can see some of them drinking, especially Jason Castillo, but it's okay because it's organic. They are also on there smoking weed. And I can see why mother and mommy, Amy, would allow weed. and not consider, and not consider it a drug. But Mother Amy also made the members limit their food intake, which no, is fucked. No,
come on. Mm-hmm.
One video showed several members talking about how they were moving into an ascended state and they were simply transitioning out of needing food or sleep. They just didn't need it anymore. They were too good for that. They couldn't say things like, I think I'm done. They had to say, I feel that I am done.
That's weird. And why? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They couldn't say, I remember either. Like, I remember you.
So they they couldn't use their brains.
No. they had to say, I re-heart.
What?
Instead of remember. I don't know.
I re-heart?
I re-heart. Members had to sever ties with their friends and families. And Amy made sure that they did that the correct way. I guess she had a handbook for that. One member on video said, quote, nothing would ever keep me away from my baby except for this mission for God, end quote.
Wow. Yeah.
So essentially she was saying that Mother Amy God and her bullshit babble were more important than her baby. And I know these people were brainwashed. Amy was forcing them to choose her over their children amongst many other mind games. Members would also recruit others by telling people that they'd spoken to their dead loved ones. And that their dead loved ones are saying that they have to join the mission.
Wow.
So let's keep that in mind, too.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah. It doesn't excuse any of the bad shit that they did or are doing. But sleep deprivation, having your food limited, lying about dead relatives, things like that are abuse. And those things can fuck with you horribly. There's a reason why those things are used as torture. So let's try to keep the fuck you focus on Amy. Because mental illnesses are not, she preyed upon people when they were vulnerable.
Right.
And also Jason Castillo was an abusive prick. So, moving on to Desolation Row.
Okay.
And it's just as bad as it sounds.
Oh, God.
If a member's vibrations were too low, or if they weren't on their best behavior and following all of those rules, then they'd be sent to a spot in the woods called Desolation Row. So, there were tents there. They could also be sent there in all weather conditions, including freezing temperatures. They had to stay there for an undisclosed amount of time until someone came to get them. Another thing Amy and Jason liked to do with the members was play a game they called Find the Whore. They live streamed this shit.
Wow.
So one of them would say something like, there's a Lilith amongst you that's sucking the energy. Mother wishes you to discuss amongst yourselves in front of the camera and find out who it is and call them out. So what would happen was, if one of the female members were getting confident, if they were getting a little too sure of themselves, they were accused of having Lilith energy.
Wow.
I assume, okay. Yeah, I assume.
So you can't be comfortable and like yourself.
No.
That's so a love big, has not
no.
won.
No, love has not won.
You're not to love mm-hmm. yourself and be kind. I just can't even fathom being part of something like that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, being in a room with these women, like, no, I can't.
Right. So I'm looking, I told you guys this was going to be a long boy.
Yes, you did.
But I'm looking at my notes and there's no chance that I can fit the rest of this into one episode. So I think we're going to split it. We're going to split it.
We're going to have a two-parter?
We're going to have a two-parter. Surprise, 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 surprise. But that is Love Has Won, the basis, their rules, how they started, what we know of how they started, and a little bit of Amy Carlson's backstory. So next week, I'm going to give you a fucked up story about an ex-member. I'm going to tell you about a possible missing person connection that you all might know about but didn't know it was connected, maybe connected to Love Has Won. I'm going to be telling you about police corruption connected to Love Has Won. We are going to talk more about Amy and her health and when she died and what people are doing to stop Love Has Won, because they're out there still.
Yeah, still recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing all the things.
At it. This is going still on.
Still conning people.
Yeah. Going on right now, but I don't want to throw too much. I mean, that was a lot. It wasn't necessarily long, that first half, but it was a lot.
Yeah, there was many moving parts.
A lot of fuckery.
I just can't. I still can't. No. Okay. There's like no part of me that will believe any of it.
So why don't we do a deep cleansing breath and cleanse our palates and talk about something a little lighter. What are you reading, watching, and listening to, Victoria?
Okay, so I was just... The only thing I've been reading lately... Didn't I finish a book or something? I thought I finished a book, but then we didn't do reading, watching, listening last time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't remember what the book was, but I was helping a friend proofread a book.
Yeah.
And then I the only thing that I've been listening to lately via podcast is Unraveled.
Okay.
And I've been listening to that religiously each week.
And that one is about the Long Island serial killer, right?
Well, yeah, that was season one.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Season two is about a, like, a cyber stalker guy. Anti-sense?
Okay, that something sounds familiar. Something like that.
Yeah, it's a guy who just, wow. If you haven't listened to season two of Unraveled, you need to.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to listen to that one.
I think it's on every Thursday, I don't know, but I normally listen to it every Friday.
Mm-hmm. See, I listen to Murder Squad every Monday religiously with Billy and Paul.
Yeah.
I think I talked about the book A Familiar Sight by Brianna Labuskas.
Finally did download it. I finally got it to work to download.
It's good. I'm still going on it. I haven't stopped. I'm just very slow at it because I read it and I fall asleep.
Yeah.
Not that it's boring. It's just I get comfortable and read and fall asleep.
Well, you read at bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's really, really good. I think true crime podcast fans would really like it. And then I also downloaded an ebook, A.R. Torre's new thriller, The Good Lie.
I don't think I knew she had another new thriller.
Yeah, I think it's pretty new.
Well, the last one I knew was those, like, the cover was The People in the Water or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one's after that, and it's actually a serial killer thriller. Oh. I haven't started it, but I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I love a good serial killer thriller.
We love it. We wrote one. I also just today listened to the new Crime Junkie episode on the disappearance of Alicia Navarro, the little 14-year-old girl who they think was targeted online, like, through her games.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know anything about her.
I know a little bit about her. I did not know that Crime Junkie did it. Oh, that was their newest one, yeah.
Yeah, just...
No, I know a little bit about that case.
Mm-hmm.
The online gaming stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And she's still missing. So you guys should listen to that one. They actually released it translated into Spanish, too, which I think is a really good idea because they're close to... the Mexico border.
Right, sure.
So I thought that was a good idea.
That is a good idea.
And then also in that episode, they have an interview with a guy from the Anti-Predator Project, and they're working to educate parents and find missing kids, especially, like, online. You know, when it when they're targeted online, it's so scary.
Yeah.
We did that shit. Oh, my God.
All the time. And I bet that there were plenty of predators then, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just lucky.
I know for a fact we talked to at least one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Few for me too.
Well, in there he's saying, like, a lot of us didn't grow up with, you know, these chat rooms and blah, 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 blah. Like, maybe not how it is now, but we definitely talked to fucking strangers online.
Yes, we did. All the time. Every single day after school. All the time.
I gave out my address.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, I did.
Yep, you did.
When I was like 10 or 11. Yep. So, I mean, it's not that new, but it's still something important to learn about and talk about.
Educate
and talk to
your kids about. With. Mm-hmm. About, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, so that's about it. I'm not watching anything. I am watching a lot of TikTok, just scrolling, and my therapist really validated me on that.
Yeah.
She's like, if a 60-second video brings you joy, and that's how you want to spend your downtime, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm like, thank you. Because I'm like, I was told her that I was like feeling like a piece of shit for just sitting there and scrolling, but I like it, and it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Righto. If you want to find us, you can.
You can. You could do it.
If you want.
I believe in you. That's something that you could do. You can send us an email at cruelandunusualthepod@gmail.com. Look at Instagram at cruelandunusualthepod.
You can send us a QOTDW via voice memo.
Wherever you want, pretty
wherever.
Much.
I mean, almost
just send it.
Almost anywhere. Also, I tweet.
She tweets.
At cruelandunusualpod. Also, we TikTok at what?
Cruel_and_unusual_the_pod. That's a little
excessive.
Move
on.
Tad obnoxious.
Move right along, Katie.
Go to cruellinkmedia.com for merch, Patreon stuff, Patreon link, Patreon wall, stuff like that.
And
join us on Patreon for some extra content.
And
so
our group.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Cruel and Unusual: The Group on Facebook.
You can find us there.
Mm-hmm. You can find us anywhere.
Are we Dr. Seuss? You can find us with your hair. You can find us with a bear. You can find us in our rear. That doesn't rhyme.
In our rear. You can find us, but you have to share. Okay. All right, guys. All right. This is, we're delirious.
Mother and Father God are signing off.
Oh, I have a confession really quick. You know how I said greetings, love beans?
Yeah.
That's an Amy from an Amy video, Carlson video. And I'm really sorry about it. Amy
Carlson Romano. I wondered where that came from.
Yeah. That was all Amy. I can't take credit for that one.
You guys, okay. We're going to be back next week with part two.
Sorry to break it up.
Of this disgusting, horrifying Love Has Not won.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more wild stuff coming next week.
So come back
and see us. Wow, I yelled that. Okay.
Hello.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.